everything to George Bailey. Help him, dear father.
Joseph, Jesus, and Mary, help my friend, Mr. Bailey.
Help my son, George, tonight.
He never thinks about himself, God. That's why he's in trouble.
George is a good guy. Give him a break, God.
I love him, dear Lord. Watch over him tonight.
Please, God, something's the matter with Daddy. Please bring Daddy back. Please,
watch over him tonight.
Welcome to Christmas at the movies at Bridge City Church. How's everybody doing this morning at the White Oak campus? If I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church. I'm so excited you decided to spend your Sunday morning here with us, worshiping God and praising His name. I say it every single week. I'll continue to say it. There's no place I would rather be, obviously, this side of heaven than right here with you all, worshiping God and praising His name. Listen, over the next 4 weeks, we're going to unpack a few Christmas movies with you all. This week, we're going to speak about and unpack It's a Wonderful Life, and we're going to wrap up at our candlelight worship experience unpacking the Nativity, and you're going to have to come back next week and the week after to see what other movies we're going to talk about. But listen, I'm so excited that you're here this morning. And before we start to talk about It's a Wonderful Life, I want to talk about those invites that are on your seat. Because those are for our candlelight worship experience, and those invites are actually not for you. Those have nothing to do with you. But if you can grab one of them, you might be sitting on it. You're like, it's not here. No, you're sitting on it, because I know they're there. And Kevin, could you hand me one? There's actually nothing powerful about this piece of paper. But there is something powerful about when it leaves your hand. There's nothing powerful about the QR code that's on the back that will lead you to the website so that you can send it to people. But there is something powerful about when that text message or when that email or when that link leaves your phone. Because that means it's out of your hands at this point, and it's in somebody else's. And that invite can change somebody's eternity. And you're like, you're just saying that because you're the pastor and you want to see Core Event Center filled up on December 23rd. Nope. I wouldn't mind if there was one person at Core Event Center on December 23rd, if that one person was invited and they met Jesus. I'm believing for 1,000 people at the Core Event Center, okay? Because I've never been to a church worship experience where there's enough people. Never. Ever. I want so many people's destiny to be changed on December 23rd. And I want you to be able to see the power of an invite. So I'm going to unpack this for you a little bit, because you might not have gotten to see yet the importance of an invite. But I have, over and over and over and over again. So let me put it into perspective for you. Let me make it real for you. Jordan Armstrong, the young man who led worship today, which thank you again to our amazing worship team and what they do week in and week out. The power of an invite changed his life, not because somebody handed one to him, but because somebody handed his bride one. I'm not done yet. Her name's Maria. Somebody had enough faith to extend an invite to a candlelight worship experience to her, and she had enough faith to accept it. She walked in, and as a matter of fact, those people that invited her invited 23 other people. And she attended, and she said, I've never been to something more beautiful except for the Rocky Mountains. Okay. She met Jesus. And because of that, She eventually became a leader within our Bridge City students, and students met Jesus. Because of that invite, she eventually became somebody who serves on our worship team, and people met Jesus because of her heart for worship. Because of that invite, she became a connection group leader, and people are continuing to meet Jesus and grow in their relationship with Jesus. Because of that invite, she now gets to work in one of her passions, which you would never guess this, but she loves working in sound and working on the sound team and leading the sound team. You're like, what? Maria loves that? Yes, she does. And now she gets to grow and encourage and empower and equip people, young people, older people in that ministry. She's part of our creative team. All because of an invite. So don't tell me that this invite isn't important. And you're like, I don't know a Maria. God does. God knows a Maria. He knows a Marty. Whatever other M names you want to throw out. And guess what? It might just be some random stranger that you see at Aldi, at Giant Eagle, at Walmart, or those people that are far from God at Whole Foods because they're hungry. They're just eating grain. They need meat. Man cannot survive on bread alone. Listen, this is my heart. This is why I'm taking so much time on it. I want to see more and more people meet Jesus. So take an invite and extend it, because people's lives are at stake. There are people outside of these walls. There might be people inside these walls right now that don't feel like their lives amount to anything. That feel like if they're not here, things would be better. That feel like their life's not too wonderful. Their perspective's off. We're going to talk about It's a Wonderful Life and how a man's perspective was changed. All because of the people that started to surround him. It's a Wonderful Life. It's an amazing Christmas movie. And when it was written, it wasn't even written to be a Christmas movie. It just started to happen to become that. Jimmy Stewart, who plays George, actually grew up in Indiana, PA, just down the road from here. In his first day on set for Bedford Falls, he said that Bedford Falls reminded him of his hometown of Indiana, PA. This movie took off as a cultural phenomenon. And I'm going to read this quote to you in just a moment. I know some of you are already reading it, but before we start to talk about this, I'm going to have some fun. What's your favorite Christmas movie? We're going to shout it out on three. You ready? Not one, not two, not two and a half, three. You ready? What's your favorite Christmas movie? One, two, three. Die Hard! Surprised, Chris. I'm surprised you didn't scream Rocky. Rocky's Christmas movie. Listen, It's a Wonderful Life. It sometimes doesn't turn out the way you planned. Doesn't turn out the way you think it's going to. You don't think that you're as far along as you should be. But God has a plan. God has his hand upon you and in your life. And when you recognize that and see that, things always work out. Through this movie that we're going to talk about today, we're going to see some amazing things. We're going to see that we're created by God and for God. We're going to see that we're called to community. We're going to see that we're chosen for an assignment, all because of a movie. And we're going to relate it to a story in the Bible that all of you are pretty familiar with. We're going to be able to see that because of a movie, a man's life, George Bailey, can impact our life and help change our perspective. I'm going to read this quote, and then I'm going to set up a clip for you and what's happening. I've heard this film called an American cultural phenomenon. Well, maybe so. But it seems to me there's nothing phenomenal about the movie itself. It's simply an ordinary man who discovers that living each ordinary day honorably with faith in God and selfless concern for others can make for a wonderful life. Now let's set up a little bit what's happening in the movie. George is working his normal, ordinary life at the building alone. Gives up his dreams. He has kids. He settles down in Bedford Falls. His brother becomes a war hero. His friends go off and accomplish things. They do amazing things. And everyone else seems to be living their best life. And he starts playing the comparison game. Everyone else is doing better than George. And then Uncle Billy misplaces $8,000 of old man Potter's money. And this lost money that Uncle Billy lost is taking George for a loop. So things go bad for George, so much so that at the end of this clip, George thinks about taking matters into his own hands. Things don't seem so wonderful. Let's check it out together.
Hey, what's with you? What'd you say just a minute ago? Why'd you want to save me?
That's what I was sent down for. I'm your guardian angel.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Ridiculous of you to think of killing yourself for money. $8,000.
Yeah, now just things like that. Now, how do you know that?
I told you I'm your guardian angel. I know everything about you.
Well, you look about like the kind of an angel I'd get. Sort of a fallen angel, aren't you? What happened to your wings?
I haven't won my wings yet. That's why I'm an angel second class.
I don't know whether I like it very much being seen around with an angel without any wings.
Oh, I've got to earn them. And you'll help me, won't you?
Sure, sure. How?
By letting me help you.
Only one way you can help me. You don't happen to have 8,000 bucks on you, do you?
Oh, no, we don't use money in heaven.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I keep forgetting it. Comes in pretty handy down here, bub.
Oh, tut, tut, tut.
I found it out a little late. I'm worth more dead than alive.
Now, look, you mustn't talk like that. I won't get my wings with that attitude. You just don't know all that you've done. If it hadn't been for you...
Yeah, if it hadn't been for me, everybody would be a lot better off. My wife and my kids and my friends. And my... Look, little fella, why you go off and haunt somebody else.
No, now you don't understand. I've got my job.
Oh, shut up, will you?
Oh, this isn't going to be so easy. Yeah, so you still think killing yourself would make everyone feel happier, right?
Well, I don't know. I guess you're right. I suppose it'd been better if I'd never been born at all.
What'd you say?
I said I wish I'd never been born.
Oh, you mustn't say things like that. Wait a minute. That's an idea. What do you think? Yeah, that'll do it. All right. You've got your wish. You've never been bored.
Have. were in control. But Christmas time seems to bring us back into a recalibration moment where we understand where our real joy and our real peace comes from. If we allow it to. You know, isn't it ironic that at times when we hit our lowest moment, complete desperation and despair, that's when we decide to cry out to God. Then we focus on others. And that's when maybe we're saved ourselves in our lowest moments. You know, Clarence the angel, what does he save George from? He saved George from himself. And he gives George a different perspective. When George says, maybe it would be better if I wasn't born at all, gave Clarence a different perspective on how to help George to see things. George was about to waste the best gift he had ever received. His life from God. So how are we going to relate this to the Bible? How in the world are we going to do that? I'm glad you asked. Let's talk about Mary's wonderful life and the gift that she was given and that we've been given because she understood that she was created by God and for God. Luke 1, 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary, and she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. And Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Now listen, I'm just happy that the Bible is so clear and so honest and so concise, because it says that she was confused and disturbed. Because there were some people in the first worship experience that when I said I would have been confused and disturbed as well, they shook their head. Oh no, I would not be confused nor disturbed if this happened to me. If Clarence showed up or if Gabriel showed up, I would be totally comfortable. Come on. Now, I would be, now at this point in my walk with Jesus, I'd be a little bit more comfortable. But in George's perspective or in Mary's perspective, like early, confused and disturbed would be the default, okay? Mary tried to think what the angel could mean, and "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have been found with favor with God." Now, Elizabeth was Mary's cousin, but I want to talk about Mary for a moment. She's just like every other teenager, but she was engaged. Every other teenager is not engaged. So that's the separate here. So if you're a teenager in this room, don't think that Pastor Nick's saying, go get engaged. Okay, that is not what I'm saying. Okay? At all. Alina, I'm not saying go get engaged. Okay? But I am relating every other teenager to her because she was probably daydreaming. She was writing Joseph's name on her books and hearting it. Mary and Joe. She was sending him texts, watching reels over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. She was writing Joseph's wife over and over and over again. hashtag, trying to figure out the hashtag for the wedding, what they were going to dance to, all this stuff. She's just minding her own business, searching Pinterest or whatever was then what they called it. There was nothing special recorded about her. Nothing about her upbringing. As a matter of fact, she came from a poor family. No special attributes. She wasn't a singer, a writer, a poet. Didn't hold some special position. She was just Mary from Nazareth. Just like George Bailey from Bedford Falls. And don't be afraid seemed to be the standard greeting from angels. Mary was confused. Mary's response was not, "It's about time, O angel. I've been waiting." She was confused. I like to think that she might have been confused because she didn't think of herself as somebody that would be favored by God. But I also like to think that she was confused because she placed herself in such a position of humility and she was honest. And I believe that honesty and humility is truly the foundation of a wonderful life. Who am I? And God, are you sure you got the right person? Listen, George Bailey had the humility to keep making the right choices. He was about to make a bad one, but he had the humility to keep making the right choices after he realized he was about to make the wrong one. God always works through humbleness and honesty, always. You keep doing that and he will work through it. You keep recognizing that God is with you and that God is for you and he will work. And he doesn't get tired. He will keep pushing through. The first thing that we need to realize is that God is not tolerating us. He wants to be with us. We all have that person that we think of right away when you hear the word tolerate. Don't look around the room. Please don't look around the room. Like, oh, are they here today? I have the amazing opportunity that I'm called to look around the room. I get to look around right now. You don't know who I'm looking at. I'm going to walk around now. But God's not tolerating you. He wants to be with you. And here's another one that's even more unfathomable. He wants you to be with him. As a matter of fact, he gave his son so that you would be with him for eternity if you've accepted him. When we think about that perspective, when we allow for that to be where we live and where we walk and what we constantly worship him for. It'll change not only our Christmas season, but all of our seasons. A wonderful life believes that we are created by God and for God and to be in relationship with God. Verses 31 through 33, you will conceive and give birth to a son and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David and he will reign over Israel forever. his kingdom will never end. Jesus, our salvation. Listen, this is a big deal. When Mary starts to recognize who she is and who she's being called to be, this is a big deal. When we start to recognize who we are and who we are called to be, it's a big deal. When we understand everything that God is calling us to be, it's a big deal. Let's check out another clip.
Now, we can get through this thing, all right. We've got to stick together, though. We've got to have faith in each other.
But my husband hasn't worked in over a year, and I need money.
How am I going to live until the bank opens?
I got Dr. Bills to pay. I need cash.
I can't keep my kids on faith. I've got to have...
How much do you need?
Hey! I got $2,000. Here's $2,000. This will tide us over to the bank reopens. All right, Tom, how much do you need?
$242.
No, Tom, just enough to tide you over until the bank reopens.
I'll take $242.
$242. There you are.
That'll close my account.
Your account's still here. That's a loan. Okay. All right, Ed.
Well, I got $300 here, George.
All right, now, Ed, what'll it take until the bank opens? What do you need?
Well, I suppose... $20?
$20. Now you're talking. Thanks, Ed. That's fine. All right. Now, Miss Thompson, how much do you want?
But it's your own money,
now,
George.
Don't mind about that. How much do you want now?
I can get along with $20, all right.
$20, fine.
And I'll sign the paper.
You don't have to sign anything. I know. You pay when you can. That's okay. All right, Miss Davis?
Could I have $17.50?
Bless your heart, of course you can have it. You got 50 cents? There we are. Seven.
We're going to make it, George.
Six.
It'll never close us up today.
Five, four, three... 2, 1, bingo! We made it! Close the door, you! Since we made it! Look, we're still in business. We still got $2 left.
Listen. There was a chosen assignment. Once the assignment was accepted and they began to walk it out, understand that assignment could never be walked out unless there was a community around them. And we're all called to live in community. Every single day of our life, we're called to live in community. And if we're not in community, all the things of our life will come against us and we will fail. We are not immune to trials. We're not immune to challenges. We're not immune to confusion. We're not immune to all of these things. We're not immune to losing sight of what God has called us to do. We get to be in community with each other so that people can continue to help us see that we need to stay on the path that God has called us to. When Mary was confirmed, she told the angel, like, listen, I'll accept this call. You cannot tell me that she wasn't tempted, she wasn't scared, she wasn't worried. I will tell you that she could have been killed. Pregnant out of wedlock? Imagine what Joseph thought. You think he was just the most understanding man in the history of the world. He didn't have fear. He didn't have challenges. He didn't have all. He needed some people around him to encourage him and empower him and equip him and say, hey, listen, man, listen, we're going to get through this. We're all tempted to give up on the confirmation that we have from God that we're walking in the right way. You know, in the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, Potter makes an offer to George. His offer seems very reasonable, that he would pay George $20,000 in 1947, which today would amount to over $200,000. George could have easily justified going into work for the enemy, if you will, Potter. Running Potter's business, he could have done everything and things would have seemed better. Hadn't he suffered enough? Hadn't he sacrificed enough? Hadn't he done enough good already? One of the recurring tensions in this movie was that George had helped other people achieve their dreams. He had helped other people reach their desires. And he resents that he had never achieved his. So Potter appeals to George's sense of entitlement. Go after your goals. Take care of yourself. You're not one of these common, ordinary yokels that fills Bedford Falls. You should be doing okay. You're one of the smartest men in town, George. You deserve more than this. One of the most harmful things in life and the biggest traps is if we start believing we deserve something. I will tell you the only thing that we deserved was death, but we got what we didn't deserve, which is life and life abundantly. And we get to be reminded of that every single day when we live in community. Luke 1, 36 through 37. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month, for the word of God will never fail. Listen, it's in and by and for community that we realize that all things are possible. And God gives us others to confirm those moments. Listen, I have the amazing perspective of getting to see what God has done and will do in so many of your lives. Because I'm part of a big group. But I want you all to be a part of a big group. So many times we've talked about connection cards and fill that out. And you think it's because we want you to give us your information. I don't care about your information. I really truly want you to get connected. Because I believe that connection matters and community matters. I want you to be a part of a group because groups matter. You want to know why groups matter? I want you to meet Chuck, who's sitting in the front row. He'll tell you why groups matter every Wednesday. I have people coming in the group like, I'm worried about what happens when groups aren't meeting because what's Chuck going to do? I'm like, Chuck will just be at my house. Come on over. Or we'll go to Chuck's. We just got to make sure Olaf goes somewhere. That is not a snowman. That's his dog. I'm scared of Olaf. He's not a small dog. He's a one-eyed shepherd. But he sees real good with that one eye. Real good. I want you to get a part of a group because community matters. You might have noticed there's these new cards in front of you on the seats. We're going to have a little audience participation time. Get your phones out. Rob, you don't have one in front of you, but here, I'll get you one. There you go. There you go. I'll stand in front of you. Unlock your phone because it needs to be unlocked. And this isn't a QR code. This is called an NFC. Okay? You're going to tap your phone on it, okay? Okay, here we go. Tap your phone. Did it work for you? Yeah. You might have it turned off. Oh, no, I got it. You got it? Here we go. Unlock your phone. There we go. There we go. There we go. That's going to take you to a landing page. There's going to be three things on there. It's going to say give, connect, and events. It's called a tap card, but the technology is NFC technology. Yeah. And if it's not working for you, just get with somebody that's younger than you, and they'll show you how to do it. Okay? If it's not working for you, you might have NFC turned off on your phone. Why are we doing this? Let's click on connect. Go ahead and click on connect. That's going to take you to a connection card, something that some of you haven't filled out for the last 6 months, even though you've been here for 6 months. You know that thing we talk about every single week? Fill this out. Take it to the connection point. You're like, yeah, I never filled one of those out. And you're wondering how you don't get information from the church. You don't get emails. Nobody ever calls you or texts you. You never get anything in your mail. You've never filled one of those out. So you can go ahead and fill one out right now. And then you can go to the connection point and tell them I filled one out, and they'll give you a gift. You can pretend like today's your first time here. If it is your first time here, go ahead and fill one out. Maybe you have moved and you never changed your address. You're like, I stopped getting mail. That's because you never told us. You changed your address. This is amazing. Okay? Go ahead and hit back. It'll take you back to the landing page. Go ahead and hit events, upcoming events. Not only are there events that are coming up, but there's events that were never going to go away. The movie night's still on there from this past Friday. If you helped with the movie night and you made that happen, thank you so much. It was an amazing night. I had so much fun. I'd like to take this opportunity to apologize for any children that think or hate the Grinch now because of a certain individual that dressed up like the Grinch. I don't know who that was, but thank you for making that happen. Thank you for everybody that cleaned up and got all the popcorn out of the floor and all the hot chocolate stains up. It's amazing how many people just think that cups on the floor just are meant to be kicked. Okay, thank you for that. But there's events that are never going to go away. Connection groups, never going away. Missions, never going to go away. Celebrate Recovery, never going to go away. Those things are always going to be an upcoming event. Those are always going to be there. You can always go to that page and see it. Let's go ahead and go back and hit give. This is our online giving. Now, in their amount there, you can type in any amount you'd like right now and just put your card information. I'm just kidding. We want to make things as simple as possible for you because we understand that the giving kiosk is over there, but there's only one of them. We understand that each person in here, you're all holding a giving kiosk within your pocket, okay? And we want to make sure that you understand that your time, your talent is something that if you don't tell it where to go, it's going to tell you where to go. So this is important. I know I took some time there to share that, but it's all about you being a part of community. It's all a part of you being someone that is not so independent in your thinking that we miss what Christian community is about, and we miss the purpose of it. We need a community of believers in Jesus and the church to remind us who we are and what we're a part of. All the things of God were confirmed through a community of believers, and sometimes we take church and the community of Christian believers that we're a part of for granted. We take the people that we see week in and week out, a church and a connection group and throughout the week for granted. And we take it for granted that they're designed to confirm things in our lives from God. Elizabeth confirmed some things in Mary's life, and we take it for granted that God uses others to confirm things. How many people did God use to confirm things for Mary? Obviously, Elizabeth, the shepherds, the wise men, Simeon, Anna, community. How many people in your life has God used to confirm things within your connection group that you're a part of or you're going to be a part of? How many people in your life has God used to change your perspective on some things? Community is all about this last clip that we're going to watch. Community is all about this.
Hello, Bedford folk! Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas, George!
Merry Christmas, movie house! Merry Christmas, Emporium! Merry Christmas, you wonderful old building alone!
Happy New Year to you! In jail!
Go on home, they're waiting for you.
Come in, Uncle Billy! Everybody! In here!
George!
Isn't it wonderful? So many friends! Mary did it, George! She told some people you were in trouble with it. They scattered all over town collecting money. Didn't ask any questions, just said, George in trouble, and tell me you
didn't have friends or anything
like it, spread like
fair. Another run on the bank?
E.I. George, Merry Christmas!
Now, don't push. There we are. The Lime Farm's on the right.
Come in, George. Now, don't push. And God bless
Christmas present from a very dear friend of mine.
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
That's right.
Atta boy, Clarence.
Come.
remember, no man is a failure who has friends. You know, we're all looking for perfection so many times in our life, but the problem is that when we get involved in the community, perfect's no longer a thing. Bridge City Church may have been perfect until I walked in the door and it wasn't perfect anymore. I don't know. I'm told it never was, because that is the story forever. Community is all about each of us reminding each of us that we're not in it alone. You know, George, he was running through Bedford Falls screaming Merry Christmas to everyone before he knew what his community did for him. Before he knew what was being done. Before he knew he had Potter's money. His perspective had been changed. His perspective had been changed that he knew he was the richest man in the world. And sometimes our perspective can be lost, and we need reminded. And Christmas time reminds us, but the world tries to rob us of it. Christmas time stills us and reminds us where our peace and our joy comes from, but the world tries to tell us that it comes from stuff. But days like today remind me that I'm the richest man in the world. And that happened the day that I met Jesus Christ and he became my Lord and Savior. And my net worth got added to the day that I asked Rachel to marry me and she said yes. She didn't say yes first, she hit me first. Told me to shut up. I was like, I'm not talking, babe. I just need an answer. Then my net worth got added to again the day she said I do. And I got to say I do to her, and we made a covenant of marriage, and we've been walking that out ever since, and we'll continue to. And then my net worth got added to again the day our son was born. And my net worth gets added to every single day I get to see your lives change and transform. And one of you accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I get to hear a story of life change and transformation. My net worth gets added to. Elon Musk, $333 billion. I need him to hear about a Nicholas Stepanovic, because he's not the richest man in the world. I am. I need Elon Musk to hear about a Kevin and Kim Broom. I need Elon Musk to hear about a Brandon and Amanda Welsh. I need Elon to hear about a Chris and Alina and Jet. I need the Musks to hear about the Sorrentinos. Studs, you'll give him a run for his money. I want to hear about some net worth and riches in heaven. Let's talk about the Youngs. Musk has nothing on him. Keep stacking it up, my man. You may be sitting here today and you're like, man, I don't have a net worth like that. You can. And it starts at the cross. It starts there. It doesn't start with a Powerball ticket. It doesn't start with the PA lottery that benefits older Pennsylvanians. I've met a whole bunch of older Pennsylvanians, and they have never said, boy, am I thankful for the PA lottery. It has benefited me. Listen, it just doesn't. I've met a whole bunch of older Pennsylvanians say, you know what benefits me? The relationship with Jesus. If there's one thing you could change, what would it be? I wish I spent more time with people. I wish I had more time in community. They didn't say, boy, I wish I would have bought that car. Boy, I really wish I would have got the tree up more perfect that year. Sorry, that was my flesh. I apologize. I love you. Construction's almost done. If I'm talking to you and you don't have a day, a time, a place where you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that means you've confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart that He is Lord. Let today be your day. And I want it's real simple. Just slip your hand up to heaven, because there's a community of people that want to pray with you and help you understand what you're doing. They want to walk through it with you because you weren't created to be alone. Just slip your hand up to heaven and say, Pastor Nick, that's me. I don't have a day. I don't have a time. I don't have a place. I need my net worth to be added to. I need to know that I'm spending eternity with God. Anyone at all today? Father God, I thank you for every single person that's here today. I thank you that we're willing to walk out the assignment that we've been given. I thank you for the fact that Mary accepted that assignment and we get to walk in that gift. I thank you for who you are and who we get to be because of you. Lord, continue to bless our time here today with you. And Lord, I pray that you would give us each an opportunity to extend an invitation to somebody outside of these walls. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.